Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to celebrate you, all that you are and all that you have done for us. Open our hearts, we pray, to the Holy Spirit's calling, that as we study your word and share that word today, we may grow in our faith, grow in our appreciation of who you are and what you have done for us. And we ask this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We're getting some feedback here. Getting her under control. All right, you may be seated. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you hear the one about what would have happened if the wise men would have been wise women? Okay. Well, if they had been wise women instead of wise men, they would have asked for directions a lot sooner. They would have arrived early enough to sweep out the stable, to prepare a casserole, and even to help in the delivery of the baby. And most certainly, they would have brought more practical gifts. Humor aside, these magi, as the scripture calls them, weren't bumbling idiots. They really were wise men. And they were men whose footsteps we today yet would do well to follow. Because these truly were men who were confident of the way to heaven because they were going to find the King. And they were confident and yet humble in their approach to their King. Who exactly were the Magi? Well, meet Balthazar of Baghdad. No. We don't really know for sure whether he was one of those magi wise men or not, though tradition suggests that that was the name of one of them. And we're not really sure whether these men came from what is known as present-day Iraq. But it certainly is possible. About 600 years before Christ's birth, the Jews were exiled to that part of the world. And during their 70 years there, at least one Israelite rose to a position of prominence and influence in that area, and that man was Daniel, the same Daniel we know that spent a night in a lion's den. Well, for 60 years, Daniel held important both Babylonian and Persian government positions. One of which we're told in Daniel chapter 2 was chairman of the Magi. And I just can't imagine that this Daniel, being chairman over all of those Magi, in discussing the stars with these underlings, would not have talked to them about who truly was the creator of the stars of heaven and earth. And this Daniel must have also told them about the promise that God had made to the world that he would send a Savior through this nation of Israel. I mean, if you think about it, why else would Magi, some 600 years later, care about the birth of a baby born all the way over there in Israel? Maybe there's a faith lesson for us, if we just think about that little incident. Daniel's bold witness is a reminder, I think, for each of us, not to underestimate the impact that we could have in sharing the message of the gospel with people that we know, and sharing the love of Christ with them, with a co-worker, or with a friend, or with our families. Because you never know how many generations of people will be affected by what you might say to somebody about your Savior from sin. But now, how is it that the wise men found out about the Messiah's birth? Well, we know the story. You heard it read to us in our gospel lesson today. A strange star appeared, which the Magi, through some sort of insight from God, understood it to mean that the Savior was to be born. And then they just followed that star all the way to that house in Bethlehem. The original OnStar navigation system, if you think about it, wasn't it? But if it was that, if it was so accurate, why was it that the Magi had to stop in Jerusalem to ask for directions? It seems that after announcing Jesus' birth, the star disappeared for a time. And figuring that the king of the nation of Israel would be born in their capital city, that's where the wise men, the Magi, went, to Jerusalem. And I think when they got there, they were surprised that people just didn't know what they were talking about. They hadn't heard anything about the birth of a king. And ironically, it was the eventual enemies of Jesus, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, who pointed the Magi in the right direction to Bethlehem, just 8 miles away from Jerusalem. But how did those chief priests and teachers of the law know to look for the Messiah at Bethlehem? Well, they looked in the Bible, and they knew what God had promised and prophesied through the prophet Micah. Again, we heard it read in our lesson, that from Bethlehem would come one who would be the shepherd of God's people of Israel. Maybe another faith lesson for us. If you're looking for direction in your life, where do you look for help? Don't wait for some miraculous sign from the stars, from God, a message, so to speak, written in the stars. Oh, it's true that stars tell us a lot. They proclaim that the God who created them is a powerful God and a wise God. But those stars can never tell you that you are a sinner. Those stars can never tell you that you need help outside of yourself, that you need a savior from sin. Those stars, anything in our world, cannot tell you about Jesus and the forgiveness of sins and the fact that he died and rose to make payment for our sins. Those stars can't tell you about the power of God's Holy Spirit working in your hearts and creating faith in those hearts that trust in Jesus Christ, that the way to heaven is open to all. Only the Bible, only the Word of God can give us that wonderful information. So looking for directions in your life or in mine without reading the Bible is kind of like trying to locate a friend's house without having and knowing the address. You might go to that town and you're just going to go around in circles and not be able to find where they live, much like the Magi did in Jerusalem until they found the answer in the Bible. I think the lesson for us is obvious. Follow these wise men. Follow in their footsteps by eagerly listening to what God has to say to you in his word. No, God doesn't tell us everything we would like to know, but he does tell us everything that we need to know. He does tell us that through faith in Jesus, that doorway to heaven is open to each and every one of us. It's that message on the plain white pages of sacred scripture. It's not some spectacular sign in heaven that makes us sure, absolutely certain of God's love for us and confident of the way to heaven. So be a people of God who are in the Word. And since the scriptures said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, to Bethlehem, the Magi went. This time there was no aimless wandering around. The star reappeared and it took them right to the place where Jesus was. And while the Magi were overjoyed to see the star again, I wonder, when they got to that house, you think that maybe they were a little apprehensive? I mean, think about it. These stargazers were coming into the house to see the star maker, to stand before the presence of the King of Kings. Could it be that the King of Kings would really take up residence in such a lowly house, not a palace or at least a mansion of some sort. But we notice with these magi, it didn't make any difference to them at all. It didn't bother them if they walked into that house and there was some cheap furniture there, or that the wallpaper was falling off the wall. It didn't matter. As far as they were concerned, he could have been born in a stable. Oh yeah, he was, wasn't he? Okay. The magi were just overwhelmed. They were filled with awe at being given the privilege of seeing their long-promised and long-awaited Savior. The Magi were so in awe of all of this that these men, who were accustomed to receiving honor and praise from others, fell on their knees and worshiped the Christ child in all humility, bowing before him. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad that the Magi didn't find Jesus in some big fancy palace, because it reminds me that whenever I meet the Lord Jesus Christ in word and sacrament, in such a place as this, where there is always repair needing to be done, remodeling needed to be done, pastors who need to be redone, and learn how to stop making so many mistakes. But it's a place where Jesus is. And so when I come into this place, whether it's to lead worship or to worship with you, I come in all humility, because we know we are coming in the presence of God himself. I'm not going to plop myself down in the pew, daring the organist to wake me up from too late a night the night before. I'm not going to stare out into space because I figure I haven't heard and I won't hear anything new from him anyway. No, get down on your knees. Worship the King. We're on holy ground when we stand in the presence of that King of Kings, when we worship the one who came from heaven to save us from hell. And worshiping doesn't just mean bowing before the Lord, does it? Remember what the pastors say. We continue with our worship with the gathering of our offerings here in this place. These wise men had gifts, treasures that they wanted to bring to the king. Gifts fit for a king, even though women would have brought something different. Gifts fit for a king, because that's exactly what he was, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Faith lesson again. As we bring our gifts and our offerings to the Lord, we want to give him our best. It's not like coming in here and having the American Cancer Society asking you to give all sorts of money for them, or Goodwill asking for all of your cast-offs. We come to give our Lord our best, knowing that even if we gave him everything that we had and everything that we are, it wouldn't be enough, because of who he is, because of what he has done for us. It would fall far short of what he deserves. So when we do bring our gifts and our offerings to the Lord, we bring them joyfully. We bring them generously. We bring them thankfully. And we bring them humbly, because we are bringing them to the King of Kings. So when the Magi were ready to leave, they were told again in a dream that they should take a different route, a route that wouldn't take them back to King Herod, as had been originally plan. In their continuing humility, these magi obeyed. So what I want to ask of you this morning is that when you leave this place of worship after our service, I want you to go home by a different route than the one that you came. And I'm not talking just about the streets that you rode on. I want you to go by a different route. What I mean by that is simply this. If you came here angry with a neighbor or with a spouse or with a coworker, I want you to go home a different route. I want you to go home with forgiveness in your heart and with forgiveness on your lips, and let that anger be put away. If you came to this place and you arrived here with bitterness due to some sibling rivalry or because you didn't get a position at work, or whatever it might be. I want you to go home a different route. I want you to go home in peace, and with peace in your heart toward all that are a part of your life as God's people. If you showed up here this morning jealous, maybe jealous because a friend received more presents and gifts at Christmas than you did, then God says, go home a different route. Go home with contentment in your heart. Be content that Jesus loves you and Jesus knows all the things that you need and He's there for you. My friends, we can, no, we will go home a different route. Again, because here in this place, we have seen the King. We have heard of His incredible love for us and the forgiveness that He gives us. We have basked in that forgiveness already today and again in the sacrament that we will receive in a few minutes. We have received the power of His Holy Spirit to be different each and every day of our life. So my friends, the mode of transportation modes have changed. Navigational systems have changed. But God still wants men and women and children everywhere to seek the Christ child, to look for Him. Wise men and women and children who will do this confident of the way, because the way is Jesus Christ, and because Scripture is your guide, and heaven is your prize. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.